This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, you're back with the Morning Run and I'm Wong Xiaoning. Now, last Friday, on Labour Day no less, the Prime Minister announced an easing of restrictions in which a number of economic sectors were allowed to be open, which starts today onwards under a conditional MCO. So businesses like restaurants, electric shops and even activities like jogging, which I actually admit I miss a lot, are allowed, provided SOPs are being followed. Malaysians, however, were split about their views on the conditional MCO, fearing a rise of COVID-19 infection rates. So we've seen several state governments like Sarawak, Sabah, Pahang, Kedah, Kelantan and Penang opt out of this conditional MCO. So for more on this, we have on the line with us P. Gunasegaram, the editor-in-chief of Focus Malaysia. Thank you for being on the show with us, Guna. Let's start off with my first question. Are we ready to restart some businesses? Is it too premature to push ahead with the conditional MCO?
Yeah, I think it is too premature. You need to give businesses a bit more time to prepare for this, especially the smaller businesses. I think we are told that SMEs employ about 70% of the workforce. So this is the place where infection is most likely, the most number of people, and ones most likely to ignore the SOPs, you know, especially, unless you set up the SOPs very clearly and you make sure that you understand the businesses too. You make the businesses understand that they have to follow the SOPs, then it would be a bit too premature. Probably you should have given it a bit more time. Perhaps the government should have announced that the MCO will be lifted on May 12th. That would give everyone a chance to actually adapt to the new norm, so to speak.
So, but like what you said, Gunnar, you said the SOPs are, you know, not clear. So should they have the government actually be more specific? And actually the next phase, isn't enforcement going to be key?
Yeah, let's look at, again, the SMEs. And there are close to a million establishments. So how are you going to do that kind of enforcement? And basically, you will need to get your buy-in to be able to do this. So you have to make sure that they understand the severity of the situation and that they are actually sufficiently motivated from that to follow the conditions. You know, like if you look at the ads in the newspapers, even after Friday, it is stay at home. No, but none of the ads are telling you what to do in terms of going back to work. So at the workplace, you're talking about the personal space of 1 meter radius. So that is the SOP. So, but how many companies are actually equipped to do something like that? You know, in many places, offices, the desks are side by side. So if you want to have 1 meter, personal space of 1 meter radius, you may require at least half the staff or more not to come into work, and because most offices are crowded. There are very, and then now you have, in many places, you have an open office concept. So this is not going to cut it unless you actually ensure that less people come to work during that period. So these kind of details have to be taken care of, and you have to give time for companies to do this. You may have to reconfigure the desk. You have to make sure that not all of your staff are in if you want to actually adhere to the most basic of SOPs, which is social distancing. So I simply cannot understand this haste. You have to set up the SOPs and then you have to announce them, and then you have to give at least a week for the companies to comply. You know, and in this subsequently, I think yesterday Putrajaya came up to say that companies don't have to open unless they are actually prepared to do so. So these are the kind of announcements which should have been made earlier, and then the amount of time period for this to be set up should have been much longer than just from Friday to, and then Monday you open, you know, Friday, Saturday, Sunday are public holidays, you know.
Yeah, I mean, we already see some resistance to the partial lifting of restrictions from certain states like, you know, Kedah, Pahang and Sarawak. So I'm just curious, this dissent between federal and state, you know, does this suggest that perhaps there wasn't sufficient discussion between federal and also, you know, the different states, and also maybe the states themselves feel uncomfortable about whether their businesses are ready to start?
Yes, I don't think it's just a question of discussion with the states. The states are genuinely afraid that there will be a pickup in COVID-19 after the relaxation. So the government has not, they have not given sufficient reasons for lifting this beyond economics. I think the figure which was given was losing 2.4 billion a day. You know, but that is actually not government loss in income, but it is actually the loss in GDP, which is only to be expected under these kind of circumstances. So even that, also, there is no clear communication. It is not as if the government is losing 2.4 billion a day. You know? Because all of us are consuming less, we are working less and things like that, cost to the GDP is 2.4 billion a day. They should have actually engaged the states in a discussion with this. In fact, they should have had more engagement and discussion with all parties before they did something like this, isn't it? With the employers, which they may have done, but they certainly don't seem to have done very much in terms of workers. You know, I do not know whether workers' unions were actually engaged before they implemented something like this. No, I think, and then legally speaking, the states are obliged to follow only orders which are made under the Prevention and Control of Infectious Diseases Act, 1988. So, but this is being made under the National Security Council orders. The NSC Act only applies to a situation where the security of the country is affected. So there is the question also of whether such federal orders can don't have the force of the law, and it looks like the states are taking this version, you know, and ignoring the orders under the NSC. You know?
Meanwhile, Guna, over the weekend also, there is an apparent U-turn by Bank Negara that the two types of financing products, be it HP loans and fixed-rate Islamic loans, will continue to accrue interest or profit charges during the moratorium period, unlike the initial Q and FAQ when this was announced in late March. What do you think about it?
Okay, broadly speaking, I think Bank Negara was consistent. Where the mistake was in the example. So the example was I think it was wrong. It was a wrong example because the calculations did not tally with what they were saying. The assumptions in the example that was taken were wrong. So therefore it gave the impression that there will be interest on interest. But in this case here, what is happening is that there is no compounding of interest itself, but interest will have to be paid for the 6 month period now, which I think is reasonable. You know, you cannot defer your payments and yet not pay interest on them. So that is what is happening, and that was what was not made known clearly to those who have taken higher purchase loans. That is what I think they should have done.
Yeah, but I guess some of the pushback is also it took them more than a month to kind of rectify this FAQ, leading to people being more confused. That's my question, actually.
Yeah. Certainly it wasn't handled very well. But I think it would be too much to expect banks to forego interest for 6 months. You know, that will mean that they actually have to provide for, all these have been taken into the PR now. If you grant an interest exemption, that will affect the profitability of the banks as well.
Thank you, Guna. That was P. Gunasekaram, Editor-in-Chief of Focus Malaysia. Meanwhile, we were running a poll on BFM Twitter asking whether do you agree with the implementation of this conditional MCO beginning today? And we asked whether yes, no, or don't know. And we had a whopping 785 votes, of which 74.5% said no. Only 16% said yes. Clearly, there are a lot of worries out there whether there'll be a second wave. I think that's a good question. And we really won't know. No, I mean, the main thing is actually we as individuals have to look after ourselves and have to implement our own SOPs that means keep social distancing, practice good hygiene. Otherwise, really, the second wave will come, even if we are at home, because there are already people still working at this current juncture, right? I mean, there were essential services nonetheless. So, you know, I guess SOPs aren't concrete. They need to be adjusted. And that's going to be changing based on our behavior. And that's one of the comments made by our listeners, Rakita Traffic, which I think is very, very valid. But meanwhile, that's all we have the time for today on The Morning Run. And we're coming up to the 8 a.m. news bulletin. And then our colleagues from Enterprise will be taking over the reins. Be sure to stay tuned, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.